Hi. How are y'all doing? Good. Good. I am so excited and I am so glad to be here. Thank you so much for this time to be able to talk to all of you. I'm going to get right into my lesson tonight because I'm on a short clock. I can do this. Thank you, Barb. And just thank you for the opportunity, and I just want to thank all of you for your partnership in the gospel. I think that going overseas, one of the things that I really, really have come to understand more and more is it's just amazing having brothers and sisters all over the world. And more than ever, I can see that God's kingdom is a movement with lots of moving parts. Let me pray real quick. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Father God. I pray right now, God, that you'll move me out the way, that anything that is said from my mouth will be your words, Father. God, I pray that each person here will walk away with what you want them to walk away with, Father, not anything that I had predestined or planned in my mind, Father God, but yet your will be done tonight. I pray that right now, Father, you'll just help me to really see you, your vastness, not box you in, God, and just really see how big you are and how incredible you are, Father. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is lessons that I learned from Africa, and it actually started before I even left Georgia. And one of the things was pray continually. This is the number one, pray continually. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. And if I'm going fast, guys, just tell me to slow down a little bit, but I am going to go a little quickly because I want to cover a lot of stuff in a short period of time. And so it says, pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18 says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our plane wasn't leaving until 8:30, and we got there in plenty of time so that we could catch our flight and everything. We got through the gate, we got on the plane, and once we got on the plane, we were sitting there for about 20 minutes and not sure what was happening. And then captain comes on, and he is like, sorry, everybody, but we have a little bit of a problem. We should be taking off in just a little bit. And that's it. That was all that he said. And so I'm like, okay, is it the plane? Yeah. Or, you know, is there some other problem? But he didn't really give us a whole lot to go on. And so then another 20 minutes goes by. Keep in mind now, this is already a 16-hour flight. So I'm not really feeling being on the plane already for 40 minutes and waiting to hear the captain come back on. He comes back on and he's like, this is a 700-ton plane and it needs the longest runway in order for us to be able to take off. And the longest runway, has a pothole in it. So we may have to, take some of the cargo off the plane, and then we'll get back to you once we figure out that, so that we can take a shorter runway, and we'll get back to you. Please just be patient with us. We're going to serve you some drinks. And I was like, I need a drink, you know. So then we were sitting there for another 15, 20 minutes. They came back on and they said, we're not going to take the cargo off the plane. We're going to. And I am thinking to myself, now the people are getting restless. They're getting agitated. They're getting nervous. And I'm looking at Michael and he's looking at me. And I said, Michael, we didn't pray before we got on this plane. You know, those quiet times this morning did not cover it. And so, I really need to pray. And so we prayed and then we, you know, relaxed and we had fun. They came back on and said, you know, we're not going to, take the stuff off the plane. City of Atlanta is going to come. They're going to fix the runway and we'll be taking off in just a little bit. So we sat there for another hour. City of Atlanta came, patched the hole on the runway, waited for the hole to dry so that we can go over it. And then we took off. But by now, I'm already on the plane for 2.5 hours. So we're praying. And we're praying. Pray continually. You know, Point number two. Trust God and trust your husband. For some of you, single ladies, that may be one of the same. Trust God, trust your husband. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 3:5. And this is a very familiar passage for us, and it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." When Michael originally made that those flight plans, and I knew we were going to have a four-hour layover, I was not happy. I was not happy at all. I'm like, why are you making, why are we going to have 4 hours? It's not going to take us 2 hours, you know, just, you know, it's just fussing that he had made the flight plans. He had done everything and I had done nothing. And I was complaining and complaining. And I was like, why did you do that? 4 hours. We're already going to be on the plane for 16 hours. You're going to be having something. Like, you know, and he was like, honey, it'll be okay. But now we've been on the plane for 2.5 hours. Had he not done what he did and listened to people who knew what they were talking about, as opposed to me who didn't know what I was talking about, we would have missed our flight, because the flight that we had to take was the last flight going to Johannesburg, and we had to change planes. We had to change airlines. And so thank goodness that my husband did not listen to me. And he just got advice. He got advice from other people, but trust God, trust the process, trust God. God knows what he's doing. You know, he always knows what he's doing. And even when we can't see the big picture, we don't know what's going on, he knows what he's doing. Number three, carry your own baggage. Again, these are all lessons that I've learned from Africa. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 6:5. And it says, "For each should carry their own load." Okay, so when we got to Johannesburg, and we got off the plane and we were getting our luggage, because we had to go to baggage claim, get our luggage. We had to get through customs first, go to baggage claim, get our luggage. And mind you, we only had an hour and a half between flights to be able to get this done. And, you know, we didn't know where we were going. We were lost. And so we just needed somebody to point us in the direction that we needed to go. Michael had gotten a cart. He had all the, guys, you know Michael, he had it together. He got a cart. He had all the bags on one thing. We had about six bags. And so he had piled them all up. He had it. He was only going in a direction, but we weren't sure where to go. And so I asked one of the porters, and I said, "Hey, where do we go?" And he was like, "Oh, I got this for you," and just kind of moved Mike out the way. That was the first problem. And then he pointed to the escalator. He was like, "We're going this way." He started going up the escalator, and Michael and I were following. Another guy came from nowhere, and he just grabbed one bag out of the six off the cart, and he was like, "I'm going to help you." He was another porter. So I'm like, okay, he's going up the escalator. Where do we get there? And I was like, okay, we just need it. We didn't really need this, guys. We just needed for you to point us in the direction. And so then we get up there, and I was like, "Michael, we're going to have to give these guys a tip." And Mike is like, "I don't have anything but $20. And I'm like, "Well, let's just give it to him, get rid of him, you know." So he's like, so he gave me the $20. I gave the $20 to one of the guys, and the guy's like, "We need another $20. And I'm like, "What?" Now, I know, because we did a little homework prior to going, that one of our dollars is like equivalent to eight of theirs or something like that. And I'm like, "I just gave this guy $20. And so I'm just kind of taken aback, and I didn't say anything. And I said, "You need to share that $20 with your friend." And he was like, "We need another $20. And the other guy's like, "I'll just ask your husband." I said, "Hold on." And then no. No, you will not ask my husband. You will not ask my husband. And if you don't like that, you need to give me back my $20. Now, is this going to really be my first impression of Africa? Come on, guys. Come on. You know, like, you're looking like an uncle or something. You should be giving me something. You know, what's up? You know, so then, you know, I kind of went there. And then I had to remember, okay, back to point number one. pray continuously. So then I had to pray, and I was like, okay, pull yourself in, Chloe. And I said, listen, take the $20, guys. That's all we got. I'm sorry. And we got on our plane, and we left. Just in the nick of time. I mean, they were already lining up to board the plane when we got to our gate. So it was just in the nick of time. But the thing was, the lesson was, I only needed direction. See, a lot of times I think what we do is, you know, when I apply this to spiritual terms, I ask myself, am I a solution-oriented person? Easy isn't always best. Sometimes we want someone to carry our load for us or do things for us when all we really need is direction. And I thought, you know what, Chloe? Stop trying to fix people. Stop expecting someone to fix you. Sure, we have to mourn with those who mourn, sympathize with each other, show compassion, serve people in need, but do not take it upon myself to change their circumstances, especially if they do not want your help. If they don't want your help, then you just need to pray. Sometimes it only comes out through prayer and fasting. And if they just need direction, give them direction. The hardships that have happened in my life, the hard things that I've been through, the things that have shaped and molded my character, I am sure, for certain, I can tell you, I know I wouldn't make it to heaven had I not gone through some of these things. I'm supposed to be using this. Oh, that's us sitting on the plane waiting. And so I just wanted to, you know, just kind of make that point. We don't have to fix people. We don't need to expect for someone to fix us. Just know that that road that you're on is going to lead you to heaven if you stay close to God. Okay, the fourth thing, number four, welcome home. Turn to Romans 15:7, and or just write it down. You don't have to turn there. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Why do we welcome one another? For the glory of God. We finally reached Durban, and it was after 10 a.m., and Lisa and Duncan Comrie were there at the airport waiting for us to pick us up with no indication at all that they were burdened by the fact that they had to be there to pick us up. I mean, they seemed genuinely excited and happy to see us. And when we got to their home, there was fresh linen, a gift bag full of chocolates, body wash, lotion, fruits, nuts, all kind of stuff. And then there was a service tray to the side of the bed where we slept, and it had an electric teapot. I love tea. She had all kind of teas and little cookies, and I mean, it was like Pinterest on steroids. I was like, I'm loving this. And so I just felt like, wow, somebody's taking care of me. And more impressive than that stuff was her attitude at 11 o'clock at night. She was happy. She was giving to us. She was giving to her husband. And she seemed to me just to be someone that was, you know, and I was like, okay, maybe tomorrow it'll be different. This is going to wear off. This woman can't possibly keep this up, you know. And so, but the next day she was even more giving, more sweet. And it wasn't that she was without an opinion. She had opinions when her husband was trying to get help with things and offering advice and suggestions, but in a way that made you feel like, okay, yeah, I want to do that. Okay, hey, that's a good idea. And I was just looking at her and thinking to myself, I want to imitate this woman. She was amazing. She was amazing. The stuff wasn't so impressive, but her attitude was incredibly, incredibly impressive. And I'm thinking, this woman had just entertained people for more than a week prior to us getting there, less than 24 hours prior to us getting there. She had had someone in her house for more than a week. And she accepted us into her home like that. And we were at her house for 3 days, and they treated us like really, really well. And I thought, am I being for my husband what this woman is being for her husband? You know, not what he wants, but what he needs. Not what my children want, for what they need? Am I being this what the ministry needs? Am I being what my friends need? What God needs me to be? Not what I want to be, not what I think I should be, not what somebody else thinks I should be, but what God wants me to be. Because that's how I saw her. I saw her as a woman after God's heart. And, you know, when I was looking at her and watching her, I felt welcome. And then I started thinking about all of us and all of us here. And what I've been noticing a lot is we've been having a lot of people come, visitors, people that we don't see ordinarily. People, you know, are we welcoming? Are we being welcoming to them? Are we making an effort to meet people? I wish I could meet all of them. But the truth of the matter is you cannot meet everybody. But if all of us meet somebody, nobody leaves feeling unwelcomed, unloved, you know. And so I just really want to put that out there. Do we make our visitors feel welcome? Are you tempted to be more welcoming to some than you are to others? We have been talking about diversity. Just want to throw that in there and let's move on. That's not your gift. Take someone with you that's good at this and let them meet someone new with you. But make people feel loved. I did not want to leave Lisa Comrie. I wanted to stay with her. That's how she made me feel. Number five. Oh, hold on. There she is. There's Lisa. And Dunks. That's what she calls him. Duncan. Dunks. So, number five. Be in the moment. So, be in the moment. Matthew 6:31-33 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Most of us in this audience can quote this without looking at it, you know, and, you know, but when we arrived in Lusaka, we left Durban, we went to Lusaka. When we arrived in Lusaka, it was so different than Durban, and trying to get through customs was a mess. I mean, a mess. And people were growing impatient, and Michael and I went back to point number one, pray continuously. And we were praying and we were taking it all in and we were in awe of God. And we were looking around and hearing all the different accents. And there were, I don't even know if there were any African people that were actually going through customs with us at the time, but there were just a lot of people from all over the world. And it was fascinating. And we were looking around and standing right behind us. I mean, like right behind us was somebody from South Carolina. And so we started talking to them. But we just took it all in. And that's easy to do when you're far away from home. You know, just taking it all in. Like, I'm never going to get this opportunity again. I just want to take it all in. But what about when you are at home and you're with your family? When you spend time with your kids, when you spend time with each other, do you leave each other and forget more than you remember while you're spending time together? And, you know, it just made me think that, you know, often because we're going at 10,000 miles an hour, we're not enjoying the moment. We're not in the moment. Life is fleeting fast. This world is not our home. Enjoy your time with God. Don't rush through that. Enjoy your time with each other. And I know sometimes we have to rush through, but enjoy the time. Make sure that the time that you have with one another is good quality time. Enjoy your families when you're together. Make the holidays special. Enjoy and enjoy the incredible opportunity that God has given you to be in a family. Be in the moment. Be in the moment. And so I just really felt that while I was there. I wanted to be in the moment. Every single thing that I did, I wanted to slow down my mind, and I wanted to be able to soak it all up and enjoy every single experience that I had. Number six, stay productive. I might need a drink of water before I do this one. But stay productive. And Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're living in some kind of crazy times, you know. I do not look at the news right now. I just don't. And so when we left the airport, and I'm going to run through this quick because this is a lot. When we left the airport, we dropped off our luggage, and we were again greeted with love and warmth at the home of Elias and Mubanga. And what an amazing couple they are. I mean, they're just amazing. And again, you know, someone that you just want to spend hours and hours at their feet. Then it was off to a meeting with the family group. I mean, we weren't there for an hour. Then we're off to a meeting with the family group leaders of the church there in Lusaka. And we were there until about 10:30 that night. The next morning was a church service. We went to church. It was amazing. I think some of you heard some of the singing that Michael put up. And it was just incredible. We had such a good time. And right after church, Michael and I did a class on marriage and parenting. The amazing thing about that was they made the announcement right after church. And so, of course, I'm like, what? Nobody's going to show up. You know, I asked somebody, did you hear about this before now? And she was like, no, I don't think they made an announcement. And I'm like, and so we were thinking, okay, here I am again. Back to point number one, pray continuously. And I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be two people here. Nobody's going to show up. There were more people there than there are here right now. There, it was amazing. And it was a spur of the moment thing. And I was thinking to myself, how can this be? How can this be? They want to learn. They want to know what's going on. They knew it was God-centered, and that's all they cared about. And they came, and they showed up, and they were attentive and participating, and I was blown away. Then right after that, parenting class, we left. We went to lunch and had a one-on-one with one of the leadership couples in the church. We were with them for 4 hours. Later, back to Elias and Mubanga's house and out to dinner with them until about midnight. We got up the next morning about 6:30, which was Monday, and we were out the door by 8 a.m., and we were heading to Livingston for a seven-hour drive. On that seven-hour drive, you know, we were going down the road. Oh, I saw this ant hill. That's an ant hill. Okay. And this is the road. And as you can see, there's no sidewalks or anything on each side of that road. And as we were going down the road, I saw little children. I mean, little children about waist high, little children. And they were unaccompanied by parents, and they were walking along that road, and they had their little uniforms on, and they were heading to school with their little book and that, and just as proud and happy as they could be, almost marching like soldiers. I was just like, wow. And then I saw some other little children who probably couldn't afford uniforms, but they were standing on the side of the street, and they were selling things, and they had things bundled like sticks with a little string around it or something, because they were standing there and they were trying to sell you something, to give you something, but they were trying to give you something, not just asking for something. They wanted to give you something so that you could give them something. And I was thinking, these are little kids, and I was like, where are the parents? You know, I immediately went to the critical thing. Why are they out here by themselves? Da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I thought to myself, if these little kids can be this independent and know how to take care of themselves like this, why isn't the expectation for our children like this? Why don't we expect for our children to be more than we expect out of our children? These children were amazing. I was in awe of God. And I was thinking to myself, I can't even talk my daughter into going to get a job. You know, And it was amazing. It was amazing. And so I was just thinking, you know, it's one way we look at things and then another way we look at things. Depending on your perspective and how you look at things, there's always more than one way to see it. But I thought to myself, we need to expect more from our children. They can do more. They can fold clothes. They can clean their rooms. They can learn how to do stuff when they're little kids. It doesn't have to wait to train them until they get to your shoulder. Start right here. Okay. So that was enough on that. Then we checked into the hotel when we got to Livingston. We went and met some disciples. There were two disciples in the city. Michael talked about this a little bit too. First off, we got to the hotel. This is me. What do you mean, beware of crocodiles and hippopotamuses? Then we looked over to the side, and there was a crocodile going right across the bridge where we were. I'm like, that's what you mean. Okay. And so then we went to, and we met this guy and his wife, Nathaniah, and his wife, Avarice. And Avarice isn't a disciple, but he is, but there's only two disciples in that city. And the next day he was having a Bible talk. Blown away. So incredible. And then I was just his faith, and then the things that he said and how he talked about it. I was just in awe of God. And then we went to dinner. We came back. We went to dinner. We came back. We went to sleep. I could hear the hippos outside. I did not sleep much that night, I have to tell you. I could hear, it was crazy. Everything was making noise, and I was like, Michael, how are you sleeping through this? And then the next morning, and I was just glad that, because Tuwombo was in a tent. Tuwombo is in a tent, and I was like, I was just glad that we were inside of a building. Anyway, but then the next morning, we got up about 6 a.m. We went walking with the lions. We went to see the lions, and then at noon we went to Victoria Falls, and then we went, this is an elephant, you can't see it good because the lights up, but that's an elephant, but we were on a sunset little cruise around the Zambezi, and there's the elephant, and then there's the sunset, and there's me and Michael, and you know, had to get a little teeny romantic time in there. And so then we were coming back, and we did all that. And the next morning, I mean, we went to sleep. The next morning, we got up, and we were back on the road, back to Lusaka. You know, we stopped. We met more disciples. That's them. That's Victor and Jesse, his wife. And I think that there's four disciples right there. And then we were on the road to meet, and we stopped and met some more disciples. There was only 8 of them. I'm going to tell you, this was the most impactful thing about my whole entire trip to Africa, was that there's 8 disciples there. 2 of them are bedridden. We gave them 2-hour notice that we were going to come. One of them had to walk for an hour. The other one had to do it during her lunch break at work. When I tell you 4 disciples showed up, 4. 4 out of the 8, 2 of them are bedridden. They could not come. I don't know where they are. But I was blown away, because I'm like, I can sit down and notice 2 weeks ahead of time. And I mean, and half of my group may show up, and the other half, they're not coming, you know. But I'm like, these people had 2 hours notice. And I'm thinking, come on. 2 hours notice. And when I tell you that these people were so excited to see us and so happy, and so, guys, when people are putting stuff together, your family group leaders, and they're putting stuff together, try to go. Make an effort. Make an effort. Some people just don't go just because they don't want to go. And I know things come up. But please, make an effort, because they're putting great effort into putting these things together. And it would be very encouraging if you make an effort. That's enough on that. And then we went back to Lusaka. We got dropped off at a couple's house, who are family group leaders there. We were at their house until about midnight. We're up the next morning. That was a Thursday morning. We had breakfast at 9 o'clock. And we had breakfast at 7 o'clock. And then we had a devotional that Michael and I did for Hope Youth Corps. It was so cool. And when I tell you, listen, I know that the millennials, you give them a hard time. Let me tell you, these kids came, and they didn't just come. They showed up. They did so much work. They worked so hard. I was just blown away. And we did the devotional, and I was thinking to myself, you know, another lesson learned. We want to say things about them and say negative things about them. I have two of them, and I'm telling you, my kids are pretty incredible. That's just from a mom's point of view. And this is the thing. We raised them. We raised them. So if they're not doing something that we think that they should or should not be doing, we have to remember we raised them. And we need to encourage them. They are our future. And they are capable. And if you had seen those kids working at that Hope Youth Corp and the change, the before and after pictures, it was amazing. It was amazing. So after that, I went shopping for 2 hours, had to get my souvenirs for my kids. And then Michael went to lunch with a brother while I did that. Then at noon, we had lunch with another couple from the church that are family group leaders. Then I got my hair braided. And then at 5:30, we did a teen Devo. And then at 7, there was a leadership Devo. And then at 8:30, we were out to dinner with another couple that lead in the church. And we're up until midnight again. Then the next morning, we got up, we had breakfast. But it was time to leave after that. We were determined to get with as many people as possible during our short stay. We wanted to encourage the people and assure the leaders that we are in support of their efforts, that we love them and we care about what's happening there, that as a church, we're not only willing to give our money, but our time as well. And I want to thank all of you for making that possible and supporting and giving to missions and all the things and the sacrifices that you made. And they send their heartfelt and sincere gratitude and love. Every person that we met expressed that. Every person is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you guys do for us. And it was just encouraging. You know, the people that are there in Zambia, they're so full of love. I've never been around people like that. I've never been around people like that. They, and it be not consistently, everybody you meet is the same. And I'm sure they have bad days, but they're very welcoming people, very warm people, and the sincerity of heart was immediately evident as soon as you walk in the door. As soon as you walk in the door. And I was like, I wish I could bottle this and sell it because it was so amazing. And God had us there for a reason. God has us here for a reason. Do you feel as though you're being used by God to your fullest potential? That's my question. Do you feel that God is using you to your fullest potential? Are you allowing him to? Are you being the disciple of Jesus that God has called you to be? If not, why not? It's a decision. You already made the decision and said Jesus is Lord. So, you know, and I don't want anybody to beat themselves up. Don't beat yourselves up. You can decide tonight to be different than you have been if you're not being what you know God expects of you. We get comfortable. People in Africa are not comfortable. They're not comfortable. And I thought to myself, does the Bible impact me the way the Bible impacts them? And just because we're getting older doesn't mean that we're maturing, spiritually or otherwise. It doesn't. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Can your progress be seen? Or do people think that's just the way she is? Do you think that about yourself? Yeah, that's just the way I am. I've been a disciple for 25 years, and I've known that I've grown more in the last 5 years than I did the first whole 20 years that I was a disciple. And that's sad, but that's the truth. Are you stuck? I asked a question at that devotional that we did, and the question that I asked was, if you were the only disciple in the world right now, in 10 years, how many people would be saved? I want you to ask yourself that question. If you were the only disciple, how many people would make it into heaven as a result of you knowing God the way you know God right now? This is a movement. So many moving parts, so many people moving from place to place. And hopefully right now, God is moving in your hearts. My heart is stirred and spurned and has been ever since I left Africa. I can tell you for sure, there's a piece of my heart that I left there, and one day I must go back to retrieve it. I know I'll go back. I know I will. The people of Zambia were the kindest, warmest, most accepting people I've ever been around in my entire life. And everywhere we went, I just felt the love. I was watching a documentary with my daughter, Tess, the other day. And it was about this guy named, they called him Sugar Man Rodriguez. Maybe none of you have heard of him because he had two albums here in the 1970s. But he was like, nobody liked him here. But he has a huge following in South Africa. And two of his fans found him from South Africa and told him how amazing people thought he was there. And he's been touring ever since. This man has been living in the same house. He's a construction worker, been living in the same house for the last 40 years. Okay, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, Sugar Man, I was watching this documentary, and Sugar Man said in the documentary, he said that acceptance is where you feel at home. And I have been struggling and toying with what in the world am I going through? What am I feeling for the last 3 weeks since I've been back from Africa? What am I feeling? What am I feeling? What is this pool? And I think that that's what it is. That acceptance is where you feel at home. And I think what I felt in Zambia, perhaps more than I've ever felt here in America, where I was born, is that I felt at home. It's strange. It felt strange. It was really, really strange. I could live there. But what I know for sure is our time here is short. We don't have a long time here on earth. Our lifespans aren't that long. And we're disciples of Jesus Christ, but we can't live our lives just waiting for Jesus to return. We have to do something meaningful with our lives as disciples. At the very least, help someone else become a disciple. In order to do so, we have to remember the things that I talked about tonight. Pray continuously. Trust God. Carry your own baggage. Don't be needy. And if you are in need, then get the help you need. Don't push people away. And if everybody is telling you the same thing and offering you the same advice, everybody is not wrong. And make the people that God has put in your path feel welcome and at home. Be in the moment. Stay productive. I know these lessons from Africa are priceless for me. They will be priceless for me throughout the rest of my life. I'm so grateful to God that I had the opportunity to do that and go and to meet the people that I had a chance to meet. And I pray that something that I said here tonight will serve as a lesson learned for you as well. I love all of y'all. I love you very much. What I feel for you can fill this entire room. That's the truth. And again, thank you so much, guys, for what you have done for that church there, what we continue to do for that church there. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, after having been there with them, our efforts are not in vain. Again, I love you so much, and that's it. Thank you.